None of us lives for oneself, and no one dies for oneself. If we live, we live for the Lord. If we die, we die for the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. In October of 2000, I had an opportunity to fulfill one of my life's ambitions, the simple one. I always wanted to go to New York City, and not to just any place in New York. I wanted to go to the Empire State Building. It's an iconic building, one that's been shown over and over again in movies. So I was always fascinated with this building, so I wanted to go there. So I had an opportunity to go to New York. But before I went to the Empire State Building, I found myself at the World Trade Center. I went up to the top of the building where they have the observation deck. And I had my picture taken at the top of the World Trade Center with the Empire State Building over my shoulder. I have no pictures of the World Trade Center. I really wasn't interested in the World Trade Center as a building. But little did anyone realize that within a year, those twin towers would be taken down. I still remember that day, 10 years ago, right now. 10 years ago, I was at Sacred Heart in Anawam. I just had finished morning mass. I was on my way to my mother's for my day off. But I was going to stop in Geneseo to a nursing home to visit somebody in the nursing home. And as I was talking to them, they had the TV on low. And out of the corner of my eye, I could see that the World Trade Center was on fire. They said something about a plane had hit the World Trade Center. And as I was processing it, I said, well, that does happen. Accidents has happened. A plane hit the Empire State Building at one time. And then they flashed to the Pentagon. The Chiron, I think it's called, the script on the bottom said, a plane had hit the Pentagon. And I thought to myself, that's awfully odd. The two planes would crash at the same time. And my reaction was one of, well, this is an accident. This isn't done on purpose. And that was the response from all our top officials who were interviewed afterwards, from President Bush on down. They couldn't imagine that this was done on purpose. How could something so evil be done on our shores? 3,000 people lost their lives that day. 10% of them, roughly 300, were firemen and women, policemen and women, who rushed into the building while others were rushing out. A great act of heroism put themselves in harm's way for others. But little did they realize that those buildings would become crashing down on them. No one did. No one realized the design of the buildings were such that that would happen. So 2001, September 11, stands as the greatest act of terrorism on our shores. And for many people after 9/11, they're in a quandary. They're asking, why did this happen? Why would these terrorists do such a thing? Almost naively, not realizing that, well, in 1993, the World Trade Center was attacked then. A bomb was blown up in the basement garage. They were hoping to take out the bottom pillars so that the buildings would topple over, but that didn't happen. Again, people were forgetful of these events. It took Osama bin Laden, the mastermind behind 9/11, to write a letter to the Americans. I don't know whether you realize this or not. He wrote us a letter basically saying something like this. I read it for the first time yesterday morning on the internet. He said, oh, you Americans, you don't realize what you're doing in the world to Islam. And because what you're doing, we are attacking you. And here are the reasons why we are attacking you. It's rather a straightforward type of letter. I mean, it's not terribly angry. He is angry, but it's not raving in the letter. It's rather matter of fact. This is the reason. Part of the reasons, this is kind of evident, that the United States is not a moral force in the world for good. We promote pornography, we promote abortion, contraception around the world, homosexual activity, and these are true evils. But the main reason why Osama bin Laden attacked us was because the United States' support for Israel through the years. You see, in Islamic theology, Israel must be exterminated. The Jews must die. And because we helped Israel, Osama bin Laden figures, he was attacking us too because of that. Why the civilian population? Well, because we vote these politicians in to support Israel. So that's the main reason why Osama bin Laden started the attacks against us. And this will not end. It's not going to go away. There was a priest who lived in the Middle East who studied Islamic culture. And he estimates that the 1 billion Muslims in the world, and their numbers are growing because they're having children. He says 10% of them are radicalized Islamists. That doesn't sound very bad, except when you figure it out, it's 100 million. 100 million radical Islamists in the world, bent on destroying not only Israel, but anybody who supports Israel, the West. So we should be aware of these things. When I taught high school back in 94 to 97 at Alleman Catholic High School in Rock Island, one of the courses I taught was apologetics. Apologetics is the way to defend and explain the Catholic faith to others. Now I would have to read up on comparative religions. I read up on Islam. And when you do so, you realize you're up against an ideology that's very bad. Our Holy Father in 2000 went to his former university in Germany, Regensburg, and in 2000 he gave the most wonderful address I've ever read from a churchman, explaining the role of conscience, explaining the role of the right to believe what you believe, the right to religion. But he also explained the role of choosing evil and how God does not call forth us to do evil. And then in a very careful way, he centers on Islamic terrorism and how the Quran calls for violence. It does. If you read the letter to the Americans, Osama bin Laden cites chapter and verse of where the Quran says to attack Israel, to attack and kill Jews and Gentiles. And so our Holy Father just makes mention of this penchant in Islam for violence. And then he goes on with the rest of his address. But what happened in response? Well, there was rioting breaking out in Muslim countries over this. People died. A priest was killed. Verifying, validating our Holy Father's point. But within Islam, they have this penchant for violence, and it's called for in their interpretation by God. So this is something we have to become aware of in our country, maybe not here in Westville, huh? We're not the center of the universe here. We're not going to be attacked, perhaps, as a terrorist plot. But there are other evils in the world. Our Holy Father went to University of Paris 2 years later in 2008 and gave another address dealing with this other evil in the world. And what is that other evil besides radical terrorism? It's radical secularism. What is that? Radical secularism is that there is no God. That God should not even be talked about. We see this morning at the 9/11 memorial. Mayor Bloomberg has said that there be no mention of religion or God. No clergy should be present. Completely secular. But yet that's not a part and parcel of who we are as an American society, based on our Creator, based on His gifts to us in nature, that we recognize providence working in our land. So radical secularism has worked its way into our society. I'm sure you see it. I see it on a daily basis. I see it particularly during funerals, when I'm burying our older parishioners. Their children, grandchildren have no clue what to do in church. They come to church very rarely, if at all. This is a whole new experience for them. You can see it in their responses and their faces. So what can we do regarding radical Islam or radical secularism? Well, the only thing we can do is be who we are called to be. Men and women of prayer. The scriptures this morning remind us of that, huh? The first reading says basically, "Vengeance is mine, says the Lord. Don't be hateful or resentful in your heart over evil. Leave that to the Lord." Even Jesus is challenging us to forgive, not 7 times, but to forgive 77 times. To be people of forgiveness and reconciliation. And that's a hard challenge, as I say, against Islamic terrorism and against radical secularism. But yet we are called to do that, to be this type of people, to be true Christians, followers of Christ, disciples of Jesus. So that's the challenge of this morning. In the wake of 9/11, the 10th anniversary, is to follow after Christ with all our heart and our soul, to be people, men and women of peace and harmony, disciples of reconciliation.